Our Heavenly Father, everything that we have in this life is a gift from you. Our friends, our family, our jobs, the air that we breathe, it's all a gift. And I just want to praise you and thank you, Lord, for everything you have given us. Giving us life, giving us eternal life, giving us hope through the cross, considering what Jesus has done for us. Lord, in light of all that you have done, would you please allow all of us to worship you this morning, to set aside even the joys, the fun, the excitement, the new presents, the Christmas tree, the family gatherings. Lord, help us to set aside all of that as we just give you our attention and give your word the place that it deserves in our heart. Please bring glory to yourself now in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many of you still have Christmas shopping to do? Anybody? Okay, a few of you and the rest of you. I got my Christmas shopping done kind of early this year. I even got my presents wrapped. Can you believe that? I'm only waiting on Amazon to deliver one more thing, and then I'll be done. So if I ask you how many of you ordered from Amazon, probably half of your hands will go up, I'm sure. Well, do you have anyone in your life that is impossible to shop for? Do you have somebody in your life who, if they want something, just go out and buy it so you never know what to get them? Okay, Andrew's nodding her head over there because that's what I do. So the question is, does that take the fun out of shopping for them when they have everything that they already want? Or does it make it more challenging and therefore more interesting? Yes, see, more interesting, more fun, right? Okay, my family's not with me. I hope you guys are. Anyway, depending upon the person, sometimes it's challenging, sometimes it's very difficult. But this is one of the reasons why I really like the gift exchange game. Do you guys play that with your family? It's one of the reasons why I like it. A couple weeks ago, the church staff had a Christmas party, and we played the gift exchange game. Numbers were drawn 1 through 18, and the person who drew a 1 got to pick from the first set of gift or from the gifts. After they opened their gift, the next person who had a 2 got to pick a new gift, or they got to steal the gift from the previous person. Now, if your gift was stolen, you got to pick a new gift, or you could steal someone else's gift. So, as you can tell, if you've never played this before, it adds a lot of fun and honoriness to a Christmas party. We play a version of that at Andrea's now, and it's a lot of fun as well. Well, at our Christmas party, oh, there's Chuck right there. I'm sorry, I made eye contact with Chuck. But here he is. At our Christmas party, the staff Christmas party, Chuck went to grab a new gift, and he opens it up, and I'm telling you, his face was so red, he could have led Santa. And it was fun. It was just a great time. I ended up with that gift, Chuck. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I'll make good use of it. Yes, I know. I've left it out, so you could ask Chuck about it later. Anyway, I like the gift exchange game because you never know what you're going to get. And if you really like something that someone else has got, you get to steal it. And it can be a lot of fun. I think Jane got her gift stolen 4 or 5 times, and mine got stolen like probably 4 or 5 times too, which is why I ended up with Chuck's gift. Anyway, now I'm sure that there are many variations of this gift, or this gift exchange game. But I can think of 3 rules that we had for our staff Christmas party. First is, a gift could only be stolen 3 times. So once it got stolen the 3rd time, that's it. No more stealing. And it couldn't be stolen back immediately. So if you lost it, you couldn't just get it back right away. But the most important rule was this. You have to bring a gift if you want to participate. If you want to participate, you have to bring a gift. Now, interestingly enough, this same truth applies to our Christian lives as well. I bring my sins to Jesus. In exchange, he gives me the gift of righteousness. Now, how does that work? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 or chapter 5, 21, he said this, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This is the gift of righteousness." And we only get to participate in this if we bring Him our sins. God reconciled sinful man, that's you and me, everyone in this room. God reconciled sinful man to Himself by making His sinless Son the sin bearer and dying in our place. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for us sinners so that God could set us free and declare us righteous in His holy presence. Not only did He forgive our sins, but He imputed the perfect righteousness of His Son in us. That is what Martin Luther called the great exchange. Christ got all of my sin and all of yours and all of my guilt and yours as well. And we got His perfect righteousness and His perfect standing before God. His righteousness was exchanged for our sins. Now that is a great game. Now consider this for a moment. If you accept everything that I said as true, why would anyone not want to participate? Why would anyone not want to make that exchange? I bring nothing to the table except my sins, my mistakes, my flaws, my failures. In an exchange, I receive this amazing gift of His perfect righteousness. Now, the obvious answer to this question is this, that I love my sin more than I love the prospect of being forgiven and being made holy and righteous and inheriting eternal life. Jesus said in John chapter 3, God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light. And if you love your sin more, if you love the darkness more than the light, then you won't make that exchange. Now, the reason people say no to Christ by their actions or inactions are innumerable. Today, I want to unwrap the gifts that God has given us when we decide to participate in the Christian life. That is, when we bring our sins and we receive the gift, inside that gift are many additional gifts. And the Bible talks about many of them. I want to talk about all those gifts here this morning. Now, I really had this idea, so if you will do me a favor and just imagine that I wrapped up like 10 gifts right here, big bows, and I picked one up and I came over here and I slowly unwrapped it and threw the paper down there. And I said, here's the gift. And then I put a little card in there. This would have been really creative if I had done it. So just think about that, okay? All right. So every time I say unwrap the gift, just imagine that I lean down and, okay, you with me? You guys help me out because I didn't have time to do that. I was hanging out with family, so. All right. Here it is. The first and most obvious gift is the gift of His presence, God with us. When Joseph discovered that his wife Mary was with child, he had in mind to divorce her, but an angel of the Lord appeared to him and assured him that she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. The angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, he says, "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through His prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So that's the first gift that we unwrap. The next gift that we unwrapped is the gift of peace. Recall in the book of John, if you look in your book of John, from chapter 3 to chapter 17, Jesus is spending His time celebrating the Passover meal with the disciples. And as He shares in this meal, He's letting them know all of the awful things that are about to happen to Him. He's going to be arrested, beaten, put to the cross. He's going to die and then rise again. And naturally, His disciples are quite worried about this. It's understandable they're worried, but Jesus comforts them with these words. This is what He says in John 14. He says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Now those were the perfect words for Jesus to share with those people who were suffering the anxiety and worried about what's going to happen next if all this really comes to pass and Jesus really does die. Well, we know that God kept His promise and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit and they received peace of mind and peace in their heart. And wouldn't that be a wonderful, you know, for many people who are stressed out during this holiday season, worried, anxious, isn't this the perfect gift? Well, the next gift to unwrap, I don't know if my unwrapping looks good, but this is unwrapping, okay? That right there, all right? The next gift to unwrap is the gift of provision, meeting your material needs. Jesus had just finished preaching to a crowd about the foolishness of counting on worldly wealth, and He finishes this parable by saying this. He said, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. And afterwards, He turns to His disciples and He tells them, after telling the crowd this, He says to His disciples, He says, and don't be concerned about what to eat or what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything you need. That's the gift of God's provision, isn't it? The gift of provision. The next gift that I want to unwrap for you guys this morning is the gift of repentance. Now, this is a God-given desire to turn to Him and turn away from your sins. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he writes this. He says, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance. Do you see that? Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do His will. So think about that. The very act of turning away from yourself to Christ, turning away to turning to God, that very act is a gift that God grants you. It's a gift. The most well-known example of this gift in Scripture is the parable of the lost son. You probably are familiar with that from Luke 15. In the parable of the lost son, the youngest son said to his father, give me my share of the estate. And when his father relented, he gave him a share of the estate. Now his pockets are full of cash. He takes off to a foreign country and squanders everything he has in wild living. And when he finally comes to his senses, he repented and turned back home. Now, it's not part of the story, but you know what he found when he came back home? Do you guys know the story? When he came back home, he found that his father was waiting for him. And that his father ran to him with open arms, embraced him and loved him and forgave him. Well, when he comes to his senses, when he finally came to his senses, this is Luke 15, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. Do you guys realize, of course, this is a parable, but you know, you can short-circuit the work that God is trying to do in somebody when you save them prematurely. What if his father had left home, chased his son down, forcibly dragged him to come back home and live at home again? It wouldn't have been doing him any good because he wouldn't have had repented. And a lot of times, that's what we want to do, is we want to go rescue somebody before they're really ready to relent. And so, you're denying them the gift of repentance when you prematurely go try to save them. So far, we have unwrapped the gift of God's presence, His peace, His provision, and the gift of repentance. The next gift that we want to unwrap is the gift of wisdom and revelation. And I just want to comment real quick. I heard Charles Stanley once say in a sermon that, you know, some lady had come up to him after service and said, I want to pray for you. Is there anything specific you would like me to pray for you? And Charles Stanley said, if you will remember this verse and you will ask the Lord every single day or as often as I come to your mind, if you will ask the Lord to give me this, it's all I need for that day. Will you remember that? He shared the verse. This is the verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. He says, and this is Paul, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Now, there is not a better prayer to ask for a friend, a family, for your spouse, or for your children than to ask God to give the people that you love the spirit of wisdom and revelation. When we first come to faith, it is the Holy Spirit who opens their eyes so that we can see who God is. It's the Holy Spirit who opens their eyes so we can see who Jesus is, and we can really understand this offer, this exchange. I give Him my sin, I receive righteousness in return. It is only by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals who we are. Separated from Christ, deeply troubled, hopelessly lost, and sinful. It is He who reveals this to us. The gift of wisdom and revelation helps us to see not only who Christ is, but to help us to see ourselves outside of Christ or without Christ. And once we have our eyes opened and we've accepted the gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit continues to work in us, giving us insight into God's revealed Word and to deepening our relationship with Christ. Okay, we're going to unwrap two gifts at the same time. You guys also want to pretend they're in both hands, and I'm juggling them, unwrapping. Okay, anyway, unwrapping two gifts at the same time. Listen to this, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 15. But even greater is God's wonderful grace in His gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. For the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Now here, Paul identifies two gifts, the gift of forgiveness and the gift of righteousness. And he identifies the source of this gift, which the source of the gift is this: God's wonderful and unlimited, vast resource of grace. It is by grace that you have been saved, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it. The gift of God's forgiveness. The gift of God's forgiveness and His grace is in full view in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 1, starting in verse 3 actually. As Jesus was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Now they were looking for an excuse to discredit Jesus. And so Jesus said, all right, But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stooped down, he starts drawing and writes in the dust again. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with this woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." This is the gift of God's forgiveness and His mercy and His grace in full view in the story of this woman. Now the next gift to unwrap is the first gift that you need to unwrap in order to accept all the other gifts. Or if you're going to enjoy all these other gifts, you need to unwrap this one first. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2:8, he says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And "it" refers to the gift of faith. By God's grace, He saves you. By God's grace, He gave you faith to believe in Christ. And Scripture backs this up. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith." And in Romans 12:3 it says, "Measure yourself by the faith God has given you." Faith is not something that we do, or it's a presence of mind that we develop, but faith is a gift from God. Think about that. Just the ability to accept this gift in itself is the first one that we have to unwrap, because it unwraps all the others. The next gift is the first gift, excuse me. The next gift is the first gift you receive once you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who makes you into a new person, giving you new life, a spiritual life. Jesus was talking about this to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. This is what he said. Jesus said, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." So once you have accepted the gift of faith in Christ, once you have expressed that gift, expressed your faith through confession, saying in your heart and to others, "Jesus is the Christ, He is the Son of the living God." And once you have repented and turned away from your old ways and you're turning to Christ, once again, that is a gift. And been baptized, joined with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection, then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who gives you birth into a new life. There's no shortcuts on this. You have to accept all the gifts. This is what Peter said in Acts chapter 2 in regard to this. Peter replied, remember, he's just preached a sermon to a huge crowd of people. So many, many more that are here. Huge crowd. He says to them, as they are cut to the heart, he says, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is a gift that you receive at first when you put your faith in Christ and follow through with confession, repentance, and baptism. And the last gift that I want to unwrap this morning is the gift of eternal life. Keith quoted this earlier, so there must be some providence involved in this. This is the last gift I want to unwrap. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Now all of us know that wages are something we earn and that we deserve. When your employer gives you a check each week or every other week, it is because you agreed to work for compensation. And what he gives you is not a gift. It has been earned. So what this verse says is that we deserve death. We deserve to be eternally separated from God, from His love, from our friends and family. We deserve nothing from Him. But God offers us the gift of eternal life through Christ. So as we prepare to close, the elders are going to come forward. And you're going to sit up front. And they want to pray with you and encourage you in your faith today. But as we close, I want you to consider this question. Here's the question. Do you want to enjoy God's gift of peace, provision, wisdom, forgiveness, repentance, faith, His Holy Spirit, and eternal life? Would you like that gift? If you do, you must be willing to bring your gift to the party. You bring your sins, Jesus brings His righteousness, and you make the exchange. Now, interestingly, our instinct, I know mine, probably many of you, our instinct is to bring the best gift that we have to offer. The very best gift. As I was driving here this morning, I was here listening to the Little Drummer Boy. You guys know that song, Little Drummer Boy? I love that song. But he said, you know, I have no gift for you. I'm going to play my best for you. So I imagine all of us, if you were to exchange gifts with Jesus, you want to bring your best, right? The best we have to offer. We want to bring Jesus our goodness. Jesus, do you know all the good things that I've done? Do you know what I did to help my sister or my family? Do you know how I've served in the church? I want to bring all of my goodness and all of my good works. I want to bring my self-sufficiency. God, you didn't have to pay close attention to me. I took care of myself pretty much. I went to work. I paid my bills. I didn't really need a whole lot from you. I'm pretty much self-sufficient. I'm going to bring that to you. I'm a good person. Ask anybody. They'll tell you. I'm a very moral and upright. People know me as a person of integrity. I'm going to bring my integrity to you. All of my goodness. The problem is this. Jesus Christ will not exchange your goodness for His righteousness. Either you come a broken, humble sinner in need of a Savior, or you walk away without the gift of eternal life. This Christmas, for some of you, it's time. It's time to stop and reflect on God's amazing gifts and His wonderful grace. And better yet, to share that gift with family and friends. Remind yourself and them that none of us deserve God's gifts and His grace. None of us, not one of us can earn them. We come humbly, empty-handed, except for our sin. And that's all we have to offer. Who wants to make this exchange? Let's pray to close. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, more than we can possibly say in words, for Jesus. Lord, we know that Jesus came to live a life, that He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He came in a manger and as a baby. And Lord, everything that You have given us through His life that was unfolded through Scripture is a gift for us. And we are immeasurably thankful. We're thankful, Lord, that no matter how hard we try or the difficult things we go through in life, no matter what, Lord, we can only bring to You our humility and our brokenness and our sin. And that's the only thing that You want from us in exchange for Your perfect righteousness. Lord, I pray that all of us in here today would truly understand the nature of this great exchange, and that we would consider ourselves fools for rejecting it or neglecting it. Please speak to our hearts. Help us during this Christmas season, Lord, to remember all that You have given us. And give us the desire and the will. Give us all the gifts that we need in order to make this exchange as well. In Jesus' name, amen.